$3,000 for the ET9 from Zhang. And the steering wheel isn't mechanically attached to the wheels. It communicates through electronics, which makes the steering more accurate. There's a whole different engineering.
Wow. Wow.
This is another one here. Look at this. This is Geely and its EV brand Zeekr. They have a patent for the latest in car/fishing technology, a vehicle-mounted fishing system, which includes a line and hook. Location sensors on the car will give the driver information on the depth and flow rate of nearby bodies of water and historical data to help you determine the best fishing spot.
What?
Look at this one. There's an IP application from SAIC Motors, okay, an in-car plant care system. It collects rain from the roof and water that is generated by the vehicle's cooling system. Software will recognize different plant varieties and calculate the best timing and volume of water to sustain them.
Wait, do you have plants in your car? If you have plants in your window, you can't see out your window. I don't get that.
You're collecting the rainwater from the roof, and then you're growing plants inside your car, which, you know, you might be sleeping in as well, and going fishing. Some of these features sound like gimmicks, but here are some more practical features in a Chinese EV SUV that, if there were no tariffs, you could get for $45,000 Canadian. The electric SUV SO9 model from Deepal, under the Chinese state-owned automaker Changan, is equipped with soft leather seats that have massage functions, a mini fridge, and a 21-inch screen in the back seat. It is like a living room on wheels. There's no gimmick to some of the kind of basic advantages of these Chinese EVs.
Their cars are better now than Tesla's. The Chinese e-vehicles are outselling Tesla, not only in China. Tesla was huge in China. Chinese cars are outselling Tesla in Europe. And Europe likes its cars. They don't buy garbage cars.
They like efficient cars.
And style. They like style.
And the Chinese EVs are stylish. They have better battery life. They have better battery technology, battery swapping technology.
And they're cheaper. Cheaper.
And they are much, much cheaper.
Yeah.
So this is like the parallel to the American age of the automobile when there was a race to innovate and like people were, some of the innovations stuck and some of them are just like old tail fin things that we don't do anymore. But they are making it better and better every year, cheaper and cheaper every year. The cars go faster and longer.
They're in trouble in China. I mean, it's good for a consumer, but they have so many e-vehicle factories and different brands now that they're really competing with each other. And the only way they see to get out of the fiscal hole is to expand, which of course is not a good idea if you've got too many competitors. But that's really good for consumers, it's really good for technology, and that's why they're beating Tesla, essentially. And the e-cars that Mercedes is doing and Cadillac, they're just so clunky compared to what China is producing.
Elon Musk has acknowledged this. He said he's really only afraid of China. And our prime minister has let it be known how big he is on EVs. Here is Mark Carney reading. This is from the audiobook of his book, Values. Jan, this will sound like AI. It's just the way the guy talks.
The second major priority is to decarbonize our transport wherever possible. The solutions lie in electrifying almost all surface transport. The technology for cars exists, but we need the supporting infrastructure, such as EV charging points, and the right incentives, such as scrappage schemes and potentially EV tax breaks, to increase uptake rapidly. Electrical and plug-in hybrid passenger vehicles could reach close to 100% of new sales by 2030 if they continue on current trends, and even if the growth slows from today's pace of 50% per year to 33%.
Calm down, buddy. What are you so worked up about?
I have to get that ebook in case I have trouble sleeping at night.
With these charismatic leaders and their fiery rhetoric. No, what he was saying was actually quite extreme. He was predicting before he was running for office that we could be reaching 100% EVs in Canada and we should be gunning for that. Fast forward to Carney as prime minister. Jan, he is ditching...
Pausing.
Part of this decision to pause the EV mandate includes a 60-day review period for Canada's EV policy.
So to add flexibility to the automotive sector, we will remove the 2026 electric vehicle availability standard, which specifies the share of new vehicle sales that must be electric next year. And the government will begin immediately a 60-day review of the EV standard to identify future flexibilities and ways to reduce costs.
So we were supposed to be, by 2026, 20% of cars sold electric. Manufacturers would have been facing fines up to $20,000 for selling non-EV. Like, Canada was serious about this, and it was Carney pushing towards these policies. Sales of electric vehicles in Canada in 2024 were at about 14.5% of all car sales. But more recent data shows that only 7.9% of cars sold in Canada in 2025 are electric. That number represents a 40% drop. We're moving in the wrong direction. Mm. The Globe and Mail's editorial board said Ottawa should pull the plug on EV mandates. Canada moving away.
No. Well, the reason it's down is because they cost a lot. EV vehicles are very expensive in Canada, and they don't make economic sense for at least 10 years. The New York Times did a study of how long it takes for you to break even if you buy the more expensive e-vehicle and don't have to buy gas. It takes about 10 years. That's too long a timeline for most consumers. And so the reason it costs so much is because of our own tariffs. Like, we're complaining about the U.S. tariffs all the time. We don't look at what we did. So what Trudeau did is, when Europe and the U.S. imposed 100% tariff on Chinese e-vehicles, Trudeau just jumped on board.
We will be introducing a 100% tariff on Chinese-made electric vehicles.
Without any kind of thought to me, like, what about the consumer? And now we're in this really interesting situation where our auto sector is being killed by the U.S. tariffs, and we're pausing this e-vehicle mandate because our auto industry is going, we can't do this. The old gas-driven car industry is going, we can't convert so fast. The solution is staring us right in the face, and the solution would solve a few other problems. And that solution is, take off this 100% tariff on Chinese e-vehicles. And then maybe we could start selling our canola. China refused to buy Saskatchewan canola because it was in retaliation for our 100% tariff on their e-vehicles.
Canadian canola farmers are feeling the blow of Chinese tariffs. China slapped a duty of nearly 76% on canola seed. That's in addition to the 100% tariff on canola oil and canola meal imposed this March. China's move is seen as a response to Canada's tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles.
So it seems to me we have a built-in solution. And who cares about Trump right now? It's clearly been proven that if you go to him on your knees, to the Oval Office, it doesn't matter.
Mark, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm on the edge of my seat, actually. But thank you for your hospitality and above all, for your leadership. You're a transformational president.
He's going to you anyway. So why not take advantage of this time of chaos in Washington, when he's trying to decide whether to send troops into Chicago and he's losing cases in various courts, he's winning some. Why not take advantage of this and fix our relationship with China?
After the break, we'll talk about why premiers from the prairies actually want electric vehicles. So this is so interesting. This is a rare issue where, like, across the spectrum, the mainstream press is of one mind that this was the right move. Globe and Mail opinion, Ottawa should pull the plug on EV mandates. National Post, there's an editorial, just put EV mandate out of its misery already. Toronto Star, Mark Carney's decision to pause Canada's EV sales mandate had to happen. We have our mainstream newspapers across the political spectrum agreeing on this. This was not working because this was a weird countermeasure to somehow balance these interests in a previous dynamic where we had to be lockstep with the states, which was in a protectionist stance. You're never in a good position where you're trying to keep the better, cheaper product out of people's hands. We have a shared interest in protecting the auto industry because it's a Canadian-U.S. joint thing, and we are going to back Trump up on this, even though we have this, like, formerly green guy as prime minister who thinks that we should be, like, getting to 100% EV really quickly. We're going to keep China out of the market while trying to get Canada to drastically and quickly adopt EVs. So I guess you're trying to push people to buying North American EVs, But North America is not producing EVs that people want to buy. The whole thing was just not making sense in the marketplace.
And he just announced trying to use canola to make biofuel.
To strengthen these sectors, Canada's government will introduce a new biofuel production incentive, providing more than $370 million to assist domestic producers and help them restructure their value chains to spur the development of a vibrant biofuels industry in Canada.
Which is a nutty thing if you ask me. I don't think it's easy. It's stupid. There's a simple, quick solution right here which would solve our other problems. It would solve our seafood exports to China. They're mad at us, and for good reason. It started with Huawei.
Yeah.
And that's debatable, but we arrested Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver because the U.S. asked us to. So this stems from the U.S., and now the U.S. has stabbed us in the back with these tariffs on that affect the auto sector. And so the media is of one voice, but that's because the media doesn't look past their nose. They're only looking about what's happening in Canada. And if you step back and you look at the global world, you will see that as a result of U.S. tariffs, China is big time exporting to Africa. It's gone up hugely. The solar panels are dominating the energy sector in Africa, and they pivoted very fast. And I think in this current crisis, because it's a crisis where we have our major trading partners stabbing us in the back, we got to pivot really fast. And I don't know if you followed it, but there was an ICE raid on a Korean, South Korean auto plant in the southern U.S., and they arrested hundreds of South Koreans.
South Korea will reportedly send a chartered flight to Atlanta as early as tomorrow to bring back hundreds of workers detained during a massive ICE raid on a Hyundai plant last week. More than 300 South Korean workers were detained during that raid, suspected of living and working in the U.S. illegally.
It's very embarrassing for South Korea to have their nationals handcuffed and taken to an ICE facility. It's bad for any country, but it's very embarrassing especially. And that's a Hyundai plant and an LG plant. So why don't we tell Hyundai to come here and start making an e-vehicle? Or China? Like, they're desperate in China to sell their e-vehicles now because they have oversupply. This is a perfect storm that is actually good for Canada. We need to walk in there and start doing deals.
This is a radical plan, Jan.
Yeah, from an old Maoist. I used to be a Maoist. And I can see it. It's going to work.
Look at this. Here's an article from The Conversation. China's electric vehicle influence expands nearly everywhere except the U.S. and Canada. It's not a good position to be in. And when you see these great, cheap Chinese EVs all around the world, that is going to fuel productivity around the world. If people are getting cars cheaper, that's going to have all kinds of knock-on effects on those economies.
Right.
It's weird to be in this, we're becoming like a backwater of cars that cost too much. One of the pressures I always thought that was contributing to Canada being a laggard on this was the interest of the oil industry in Canada, which I always imagined was in no rush to embrace the EV thing. But check this out. The actual pressure in Canada to allow Chinese EVs in is coming from the West, because that's where the canola farmers are.
Ah, interesting.
They want to sell their canola to China. That is the major purchaser of canola. The retaliatory tariffs are on the canola. It's bankrupting farmers out West.
Yeah.
And so now it's Westerners in Canada who are saying, just let the Chinese cars in here.
I know. It's so interesting, right?
This is a site called electrek.co. This is a website specializing in news about the e-vehicle industry. Canada may get cheap Chinese EVs because of what's in your cooking oil. So this Electrek story, I think, relied heavily on some reporting from the National Post. An interesting thing to note here is that Western premiers Scott Moe and Danielle Smith have been vocal about wanting the tariffs against Chinese EVs removed. Those prairie premiers want these electric cars in Canada. Scott Moe is also leading a trade delegation to China. Now I'm seeing headlines like, quote, Ottawa considering scrapping tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles, end quote, in CTV News. They note a Nanos survey that found 62% of Canadians support removing the 100% tariff on Chinese EVs. Carney was asked directly about the Chinese EV tariffs at his major project's presser.
I wanted to ask you about tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. Your parliamentary secretary went with this Saskatchewan delegation to China recently. Yes. Is your government open to reducing that 100% tariff on Chinese EVs?
We're in the first week of a 60-day review, so I don't want to prejudice it or presuppose the outcome of that. And of course, the discussions with China will relate to our agricultural products, our fisheries products, their manufacturing products, including vehicles, as part of a broader discussion. But it's too early to say.
So who knows? Maybe the Prime Minister really will open up Canada to Chinese EVs and embrace the radical Jan Wong plan. I don't know if you were the originator of that plan, Jan, but you're an adherent, you're a booster of this plan.
I'm the originator, Jesse. You know that.
It's the Jan Wong plan. This is declaring war on Trump. Trump does not want to see Chinese EVs on North American soil. This is a big thing. And I think that this speaks directly to where the political balancing act is at right now, which is we're coming off of this period of, is Carney a Trump whisperer? Can Carney reason with Trump? Is it elbows up or is it placating his ego? Is it making concessions on the digital sales tax in order to get something? And every gesture to ameliorate or placate or avoid his wrath does not seem to be paying off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what we're getting by avoiding a direct confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
But holy this would be a direct confrontation.
This would be great. Plus, I really want to buy a cheap electric car. And I won't buy a Tesla, right? I won't buy a Tesla. I can't stand Elon.
You want to buy a cheap Chinese car and you just want to see what happens if we piss Trump off. You want the drama.
Their stuff is actually really good. I wouldn't have said that 15 years ago, but now their cars are fantastic. And I feel really annoyed that I can't buy one. I'd almost be willing to pay double, right? Because if I had to pay the tariff, I would. But it seems to me it's a brilliant solution to saying F you to Trump. And those tariffs, he's in trouble now in the U.S. because the courts are saying it's illegal and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. So the question is, the Supreme Court has 6 very conservative judges, of which 3 were added by Trump, and they usually support everything when it goes to the Supreme Court. But there are people who read the Constitution literally. And so the word abortion's not in the Constitution, so you can't have an abortion. But they read it literally, and the Constitution says only Congress has the right to levy a tax.
Yes.
So I think he could lose.
He could lose, and that's what Canada's been waiting for. All of these things are coming together around the same time. There was just news that is going to happen in November.
But it's too long to wait. Let's just move now. It's perfect.
You just want to move. And you want to...
We have to protect canola, guys.
Protect canola, but we also have a massive auto industry, which you think we just shift and make partnerships with. Can Canadian factories really deliver in a Chinese supply chain? Are our workers and our technology up to speed for that?
No, but we'll have to do some joint ventures with Koreans and with the Chinese. And we're a nice country. They're going to want to come here. We're not going to arrest them because they're not white, right? We're a country where lots of people aren't white and we don't get arrested for that. So that's a very strong Canadian card.
Except for Meng. We arrested her. But there's not going to be ICE raids, is what you're saying.
Except for who?
Meng. You know, the Huawei executive.
Oh, well, that's because New York Attorney General asked us to go and get her. That was so stupid. I mean, a lot of this is Trudeau's mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes when he was prime minister, and it's caused problems for us.
What about the surveillance issue?
You mean because if we buy their car, they'll know what we're doing, then I'll go to Longo's to shop instead of Metro?
Yeah, that's a part of it. But what you're talking about is, for all of this talk of we need new trade alliances, this was a major one. That would be a major one. If we're going to get involved with China to that extent, that's 8.5% of Canada's exports are our auto. We're going to go and shift our partnerships in the auto sector to being Chinese partnerships or Korean partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to all be driving around in Chinese EVs that are going to have technology that, for all we know, are sharing our data with Beijing. We've broken off from North America and we're part of a whole new pack at that point.
Well, I think we're already under surveillance all the time and no one cares because if you don't want to be under surveillance, then leave your phone at home. Who leaves their phone at home? Right? We've already made the pact with the devil. We've already agreed that we'd rather have our phone. And if you want to know how many steps I take every day, knock yourself out. So I think we're in a world where we have surveillance, we have facial recognition. At least in this country, we don't have people arresting me because I'm not white. But we're in this era. So you're going to say, no, we can't have an electric car. Then give up your phone, Jesse.
This is the new Gen 1 doctrine, the privacy. It. It's not. All right. I'll be getting emails about this one. Jen, I find that abhorrent. And practically, I have to concede that's basically how I live my life. I don't really take many measures to protect my privacy. And I also want one of those cars. Jen, we're going to duly note a couple of news stories to make sure that people don't miss them. What do you have today?
Well, I'd like to talk about a forgotten war crime. I know the headlines are filled with war crimes these days, but there is one that's forgotten. And that's the children that were abducted by Russia, the Ukrainian children abducted by Russia early on. More than 19,000 of them were taken to Russia and basically disappeared into Russian society. So as a parent, I think if you could even imagine that somebody that your country is at war with took your kid and has now taken them into the country with which you are at war, and they're changing your kid's language and they're changing your kid's identity. This is one of the really horrible things that we don't hear about in the war. And it came up again recently when Zelensky made another trip to the Oval Office and he gave Trump a letter that Zelensky's wife had written to Melania. And Melania also wrote a letter to Putin. It's kind of weird. But I just want to talk about these children. Only less than 10% have managed to come back. And the International Criminal Court accused Putin of war crimes in 2023, but they're not talking about the invasion. They're specifically talking about these kidnapped children. So that's just what I wanted to point out today.
Bring them home. Duly noted. I would like to duly note a far less serious thing. I would like to duly note the end of Nelvana, Toronto's own original animation studio. Is that true? Was there an animation studio in Toronto before Nelvana? I'd love it. Somebody out there listening to this knows. But Nelvana was the one that I grew up with, and my cousin worked there. I think I was a weird kid because I was interested in cartoons.
Oh, you were a weird kid. There's no
question about it. When my cousin Mitch agreed to show me around Nelvana, I was like, I want to do a report on it. And I came and I brought a video camera. And this was like the first piece of journalism I did.
Neat. How old were you?
I think I was like 10 or 11.
Cool.
And I have to admit, it was yellow journalism because he brought me in after hours. And I wanted to see people actually making cartoons. And there was nobody there. It was like closed up for the night. So Mitch, he took out a cell from the bar and he had his airbrush out. And he just went with his mouth to fake the sound.
What?
Of airbrushing. He was pretending. We were doing
nice.
B-roll.
Mitch is nice.
Mitch was nice. He pretended to make cartoons for my video, which like nobody asked me to make, but I made this weird video doing a report.
You're so cute.
I was f***ing adorable. Nelvana, the animation wasn't very good, but it's got a warm place in the heart. Franklin.
Hey, it's Franklin.
The bar.
This is going to be fun. More grape juice, Celeste?
Thank you, Babar.
A magic school bus.
You know, this would be the perfect opportunity to study the digestive system of a T-Rex.
Miss Frizzle, do something!
Okay, class.
You know, Chorus, and this has implications for news as well, Chorus is the parent company of Nelvana, and they're like going under, and they also own Global News. So I want to pour out a little liquor for Nelvana, which officially they're just pausing operations and focusing on monetizing their back catalog, but it's over. Production is done, and it's a sad day, and I'm going to point to, from the archives, there was like a time when there was almost a genre of feature-length animated films that were about like heavy metal and rock. So there was Heavy Metal, which was like the magazine, the fantasy magazine. There was an animated film based on that, which was not Nelvana. But Nelvana produced a film in 1983 called Rock and Rule.
Rock and Rule. Good band, hot music, the best of times. It could have lasted forever.
And when I heard that Nelvana was going out of business, I got curious to go check out Rock and Rule, which I hadn't thought about for years. It's a really good one for stoned teenagers.
Journey to a world where the cosmic forces of music, magic, and technology collide, bringing you head to head with a beast from another dimension.
And I thought it was just going to be like the Canadian rock bands. There'd be like Tom Cochrane or Triumph would be the band. Like, listen to who did the music for this rock and roll film. Cheap Trick, Debbie Harry, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop.
Wow.
And Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow. And I've even heard of them.
I'm going to go watch Rock and Roll this weekend with my kids, who will watch 2 minutes of it and call me an unk and leave the room.
Rock and Roll.
Duly noted.
That is our show for today. Thank you for joining me. You can email me about it at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything that you send. Jan, where can people find you?
Well, you reminded me I have a website where you can buy my books. It's www.janwong.ca.
Check it out. This episode is produced by James Nicholson. Our associate producer is Lucy Lomonier, who also did our fact check today. Mixing and mastering by Tom Sayers. Our director of audio is Max Collins. Our editor and publisher is me. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca.
CJSF 90.1 FM. We stream on the internet at cjsf.ca.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.